Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Late Late Shift Studios in Steve's Extra Bedroom, it's the Late Late Shift with your host, Steve.
Buddy, how you doing? It has been a few days since we last did this, and the last episode was a little bit heavy. We talked about some serious business, and I can't promise we're not going to talk about it. At least a wee little bit of serious business this time around. It's not going to be the whole episode, though. I'm telling you that now. I'm not up for it at the moment, to be honest with you. I bet that maybe only two or three people are listening to this, Tom. So it's not like a whole shit ton of people listen to it live in the first place. I'm sure some people will catch it on the rebound in the archives. And, you know, I appreciate that. That's where most people listen to this show, those who do listen to it. And I really do. I genuinely appreciate that. Everybody who listens, thank you very, very much. And thank you specifically to those who, you know, take the time to share it out there, tell your friends about it and stuff. And, you know, little by little, the thing will grow. We're on episode 20 now. That's not bad. You know, 20 episodes, dude. I didn't know if it was going to last this long. I didn't know where we'd be at this point. And I'm pretty happy with, you know, the way things are right now. We're about to get to the point to where the episode number is probably going to exceed how many people are listening here before too long. But maybe the listener numbers will grow along with the episodes. That would be pretty spiffy. It would be awesome if by episodes 50, there's like 50 people listening. That would be cool, if not excessively more than that. But that all depends on, you know, you guys sharing it around, and mostly on me. You know, I have to make a quality show or people aren't going to want to listen to it. And I like to think that the show we did the other night was a pretty damn quality show. I talked about guns and the way that I feel about guns and my issues with guns and why this and this and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, not necessarily an answer to the gun problem, because there is no easy answer to the gun problem. But, you know, if you listen to the show, then you know that my overarching question isn't, you know, why are there guns? Because, you know, there's plenty of guns out there. People like their guns, and more power to you if you like a gun. You know, good for you if you like to go hunting or whatever the hell. More power to you. That's your thing, dude. Not my thing, but hey, more power to you if that's your thing. I'm not trying to take anybody's gun away, but my question is, why do there have to be so fucking many guns? You know, there doesn't have to be a whole shit ton of them. There doesn't have to be like 5 guns for every fucking human floating around in this country. But I digress. We're not here to talk about that again. If you want to hear me talk about that, it was done the other night on Friday evening, and you can find it pretty easily. Episode 19, check that out. And I thought it was a pretty damn good episode. More shit has happened. It's just been a rain of shit over the last few days, man. And not in my personal life. Life is going okay for me. But, you know, just in general here in the United States of America. And if you're outside of Merca, then you're probably just looking at us and being like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with that place? How come they can't get their shit together? Because now the big debate going on is whether or not in South Carolina, where all this shit just happened with the shooting up of the church and all that stuff, and blatantly racially motivated. We talked about that as well. Blatantly, anybody who is claiming at this point that it wasn't racially motivated is just fucking stupid, frankly. There's no question that when the guy who did it flat out says this is racially motivated, then it's really kind of hard to dodge that it was racially motivated. So, you know, that's without question. But it's also in a state where, you know, these people who were at this church, these black people, you know, proud black people, good black people, good people, they're not just black, they happen to be black, but they're just good folks, you know, out there trying to do the fucking right thing, not shoot people and be terrible humans, as, you know, seems to be kind of a running trend here lately, especially with this asset, though. But every day, these specifically black people have to drive on streets that are named after Civil War generals, Southern Civil War, Confederate generals. You know, people who, streets, they have houses built on, and the senator who, well, I believe he was a senator, I might be completely wrong about that, but there was some government official gentleman who was shot, and he had to report to the state house, which is on a street that is named after a Confederate general. A Confederate general who, if the person that this street was named after had won, then this guy's ancestors, and quite possibly him up until this day, they would still be slaves. You know, they wouldn't even have freedom to vote or to be a senator or a congressman or, you know, statesman of any sort. Or, you know, they wouldn't even be recognized as a human being in the original draft of the Constitution. For all of you people out there who like to harp on the founding fathers and all that shit, well, in the initial draft of things, black people were referred to as 1/8 of a human being. And that is something that does not need to be forgotten. When you were considered that for so long, then it is kind of that's something that doesn't just wash away in a short amount of time. You know what I mean? We've talked about this before. I believe it was some time ago. But the bottom line of it is that you know somebody. I don't care who you are out there listening to this. If you're in America, you know somebody who at least lived through racism, full-on racism, not the racism we have nowadays, which is bad, but I mean segregation, Jim Crow, shit like that. It wasn't that long ago. It was the 60s. Our parents were alive in the 60s. Our grandparents definitely were alive in the 60s. You know somebody who lived through that era when black people and white people couldn't even drink from the same fucking water fountain or sit at the same deli counter to get a sandwich and a Coke, you know? You had to, you know, have different bathrooms. Oh, God forbid, I piss in the same urinal as a black dude. You know, it's stupid, just full-on terrible shit like that. You know what I mean? It wasn't really that long ago when you stop to think about it and you get it into perspective. It's not like the Civil War where everybody who participated is dead. You know what I mean? But I digress. The issue going on right now is that in South Carolina, the battle flag of the Confederacy is still flying. And there's a big call now for it to be taken down because though it was not, like I think it is safe to say, it was not the reason that this fucking guy went and did this shit and shot these poor people. But it definitely, it was somewhere in the background, I would say. You know, it didn't necessarily influence this gentleman, but why support something like that at this stage, you know? And of course, I don't know how this is everywhere else, but here in Texas, when it's being, you know, like on Facebook and shit, when local news channels are like, there's a debate going on about the fucking flag, blah, blah, blah. And you have people who will comment on the news story. And most of the people are being like, yeah, it's a good thing they're taking that thing down. It has no right to be up there, blah, blah, blah. It is a symbol of treason, which is true. That is a full-on symbol of treason. For another thing, it's the losing side. You know, that would be akin to if all of a sudden over a German state house, they suddenly started flying a swastika fucking Nazi flag. You know, I don't think that would be taken too kindly. But by the logic of the people who are defending the flag, and most of them are saying, well, my relatives died under that flag in the war. You know, that's part of Southern pride and shit like that. Well, you know, I'm sure that there's plenty of people in Germany whose relatives died under that flag as well. That doesn't mean that you should be flying the fucking swastika just because it has a place in your country's history and some of your relatives probably died defending that flag. Does not mean that the flag and you know, the things that it represents are a good fucking thing, you know what I mean? And, of course, the thing that always comes around whenever the Civil War pops up or the Confederate flag is that people start the whole argument of, oh, well, the Civil War wasn't about racism, it was about states' rights, blah, blah, blah. Well, the predominant issue at hand, the main right that these states were fighting to keep was the right to keep black people as slaves. So technically speaking, it was about states' rights. But, you know, I mean, come on, dude. Let's call a spade here, if you'll pardon the pun. I just wanted to read this to you. Christopher Titus, the comedian, actually posted this earlier, this quote, and it's worth reading. For all those people out there, take note of this, okay? Find it somewhere. Go find it on Titus's Twitter if you can't find it anywhere. I mean, on Facebook, I mean. And take note of this because this is important. And whenever you see somebody make that argument of, oh, well, the Civil War wasn't about slavery. You know, that flag doesn't represent slavery. That flag represents, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, if you want to get right down to it, even if you remove the slavery from the situation, what it represents is a four-year period where seven states wanted to act like douchebags and committed treason against our country. They got their ass handed to them stiffly while their largest cities were burned to the fucking ground. Why don't you go ask Sherman about that and Atlanta? You know what I mean? Burned to the ground, good old-fashioned, passionate ass-whooping, got their shoes, coat, and their hat taken, and they eventually crawled back to the Union with their tail between the legs, you know, once they got their ass handed to them. It is an embarrassment. It should be seen as an embarrassment, and at the very, 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 very least, it should be seen as treasonous. However, let's go back to the source here, okay? This is a quote from William Tappan Thompson. I don't know if I pronounced his name right, so I'm just going to call this motherfucker William Thompson. He says this in 1863. He is the creator of the stainless banner, otherwise known as the Stars and Bars, the Confederate flag. He created the flag. He's the guy who invented the motherfucking flag. So I think that if anybody, you could take the word of anybody what this flag is supposed to represent, I think you could probably take this dude's word for it, wouldn't you say? I would think so. You know, if I'm trying to interpret a work of art or, you know, a book or something like that, or a T-shirt or anything for that matter, if you go to the person who actually created this thing, 9 times out of 10, they can at least tell you, hey, well, I was in that mindset when I did the thing, so this is what it means to me. And that's what it was intended to mean, okay? This William Thompson motherfucker in 1863 said this about his creation of the Confederate flag, okay? As a people, we are fighting to maintain the heaven-ordained supremacy of the white man over the inferior or colored race. A white flag would thus be emblematic of our cause. Such a flag would soon take rank among the proudest ensigns of the nation and be hailed by the civilized world as the white man's flag. As national emblem, it is significant of our higher cause, the cause of a superior race and a higher civilization contending against ignorance, infidelity, and barbarism. Another merit of the new flag is that it bears no resemblance to the now infamous banner of the Yankee Vandals. And the quote goes on very similarly like that, but it is spelled out right there for you. It is a flag for the white race, fighting to maintain the heaven-ordained supremacy of the white man over the inferior or colored race. That doesn't say anything about this flag is to represent states' rights. This flag is to represent the fact that the South is getting a bad rap by the northern states, and damn it, we just want to be heard in the national conversation. It doesn't say anything about that. It specifically says, the motherfucker who made the flag specifically says, oh yeah, this is a flag for white folks because fucking black people. Essentially, in fancier words, of course, because everybody spoke fancy back then, but the bottom line of it is that is what he intended. That is what the flag is. It is not just what the flag represents. That is what the flag is. The white race flag. No different than putting on a hood as a Klansman. Or, you know, what does a burning cross mean? Oh, it means Jesus dropped a lighter or something. No, it doesn't mean that. It means racial symbol. It means white power type bullshit. It means we hate black people. Is exactly what it means, and that is what that flag means. That is what it was designed to mean. That is what that flag is. And if anybody out there is defending it at this point, they are either misguided, which I'll be nice enough to say, okay, maybe they don't know this information, you know what I mean? Maybe they only know the rhetoric that is put forth around, especially around the South, that tells them, no, we weren't fighting about racism, because a lot of your people will tell you that. It wasn't about racism. It was about states' rights. They were being rude to us. They were, you know, charging us high taxes on our cotton and shit like that, you know. They were treating us like a redheaded stepchild, basically. The northern states were not being fair to the southern states. And a lot of people will present that as the crux of what the Civil War was about. That is not the case, though. The main issue at debate between the northern and southern states was that the southern states wanted to keep black people as slaves. The northern states had already abolished this shit. That's why the Underground Railroad existed and shit. They would take the slaves that escaped, and they would get them up to the northern states so that they could be free. And, I mean, don't get me wrong here. Other people will also point out to you, oh, well, the Yankees were fucking, it's not like they were nice to the black people either. They, you know, they had segregation there too and blah, blah, blah. And that's absolutely true. People acted just as much a fool about black people up north as they did down south. Don't fucking try to twist that around. That is the truth. That is the full-on truth. However, that being said, we were the only ones who were still trying to own the people. You know what I mean? We were trying to own humans. And you know what? It's funny that this says we are fighting to maintain the heaven-ordained supremacy of the white man over the inferior color race. I don't know that it necessarily says in the Bible that white people should own everybody else, but slavery, perfectly fine in the Bible, perfectly fine. If you read through the Ten Commandments, it says don't lie, it says don't steal, don't kill a motherfucker, don't say the Lord's name in vain. But it doesn't say anything about two big things. There are two outstanding omissions from the Ten Commandments that everybody wants to point at. And some, most of them are repetitive, but that's a George Carlin routine, and I'll leave it to you to find the George Carlin routine about the Ten Commandments where he edits them down. It's fucking brilliant. And if you have not heard it, seek it out and find it. Just Google George Carlin Ten Commandments. You'll probably find it on YouTube. Maybe you can read the routine. Maybe you can watch it. I don't know. Find it, though. Find it if you are a fan of comedy and of intelligent-type discourse and stuff like that, because it's a great bit. It's a fantastic bit. But anyways, I digress. Of all the things it mentions in the Ten Commandments, which, I mean, even if you're not a religious person, it's fair to say that the Ten Commandments are a pretty decent blueprint on how to live your life. That being said, there are two big things that are missing from that. First and foremost, rape. There's no mention whatsoever of rape in the Ten Commandments. It doesn't say that it's bad. It doesn't say that it's good. It just doesn't fucking address it. So, you know, if you're just going based on what the fucking the commandments say, then you go out there and rape to your heart's content. But second, it says nothing about slavery. Why doesn't it say anything about slavery? Because slavery was completely and totally acceptable back in the day. They didn't write anything about that because people were doing it on a regular basis, especially back then. I mean, hell, the Ten Commandments were being written just 40 days and 40 nights after the fucking Jews had been set free as slaves. They were slaves just, you know, a month and a half beforehand. They had been slaves in Egypt. And it's not like God had the burning bush and had Moses go tell the Pharaoh, you shouldn't have slaves anymore. No, he went and told the Pharaoh, don't slave these people. Slave those dudes over there, but not these. These are the chosen people. We're going to go into the desert and eat some bread, what falls from the sky. It's going to be awesome. But you can't enslave these people anymore. Now I'm going to pull this down and turn it into a snake. Wow! And, you know, shit like that. You know the story. And if you don't know the story, look it up because it sounds like a fucking fairy tale. Because it is. But anyways, that's my opinion. Doesn't necessarily have to be one that you share. But the bottom line of it is that slavery is not condemned in the Bible anywhere, nor is it condemned in the Ten Commandments. And so you kind of have something of a basis for some of these people, some of these assholes who really use the Bible as a weapon as opposed to as a teaching tool and for, you know, a book of love and teaching as it is meant to be. Some people use it as a weapon and as a tool of assholery. And those people will point and be like, well, God didn't have a problem with slavery, so why should we have had it? You know, shit like that. But furthermore, as I was mentioning, the people who will defend the Confederate flag, you know, it's people who watch the Dukes of Hazzard back in the day. I used to watch the Dukes of Hazzard too. I liked the General Lee. I had a toy, General Lee. Nothing wrong with the motherfucker. It's a cool car. Kind of badass. They had a lot of fun with it, shit like that. But it was essentially emblazoned with a racist symbol. You know, the Duke boys weren't necessarily racist. At least they never said so on the show. They were never just like, well, come on, Bo, we're going to go run us down some darkies. And they never said anything quite like that, you know. But at the same time, they're driving around in a car that was literally emblazoned with the white power flag, as we just found out in the quote that I read, which is essentially what it was. It was the fucking white power flag, the white man's flag, literally spelled out in capital letters. The white man's flag was what it was to be called, what this William Thompson gentleman who created the damn thing considered it, the stainless banner. But anyways, for the people who defend that, they're either not educated on what the true meaning behind it was. They're not privy to this quote. They've probably never read this quote. They don't know. They just know what they've been told, okay? I'm going to give them a little bit of leeway in that regard because, you know, you only know what you've been educated on. School will tell you that it was about racism. The Civil War was about racism. But whenever we learn that shit, everybody goes home. And if you mention to your parents or your granddaddy or whoever, you know, whoever the fuck, you mention to your family, oh, we're learning this in school today, that the Civil War was about racism and slavery. And, you know, you're either going to have the parent who is like, okay, good, whatever, and then go about the fucking business and don't really give a shit, or you'll have that crazy kind of fucking racist one who will be like, oh, well, don't believe that bullshit they're spoon-feeding you at school. If you ever seen American History X, Yeah, that's essentially, you know, but think back to that. The scene at the dinner table when young Edward Norton tells his dad that this black teacher is teaching him stuff, and the black guy and his dad is all like, "Don't listen, that's N-word bullshit." And I'm not going to say that on the air. I'm not comfortable using that word. But, you know, Obama said it today, though, which is, that's interesting enough. But anyways, the bottom line, the flag needs to come down. The flag needs to come down. Because it really is, frankly, no different than if they flew a swastika over the State House in Germany, or frankly anywhere else, you know. There's German people who live in this country, especially here in Texas. There's a lot of German people. There's a lot of people who migrated from Germany during World War II and in the aftermath of World War II. Hell, the American government hired a lot of Nazi scientists after it was all said and done and kind of swept that shit under the rug of like, yeah, technically you're a war criminal, but you help us work on this shit and we'll maybe kind of forget about that and you won't go to prison and whatnot. You know, our government was complicit and shit like that, but, you know, it was a different time, and you know, the government's always going to do fucking sketchy shit, you know what I mean? That doesn't mean that we have to be complicit. That doesn't mean that we have to excuse a bunch of this shit. The bottom line of it is that if you are silent about things of this nature, then you are complicit in it, you know what I mean? Silence kind of means that you are quietly allowing it, and if you're quietly allowing it, that means that you're somewhere in your head, you're all right with it. And nobody should be all right with this, because if nothing else, it makes people very fucking uncomfortable, and it makes people feel bad. Now, I'm not one of those people who thinks that we should eliminate everything that makes other people feel bad, because if you do that, then you're going to wind up with nothing around. But in the case of this, where something is blatantly wrong, I'm not talking about, you know, comedy, where, like, if Daniel Tosh makes a rape joke, we've talked about this before, how people are too sensitive. If he wants to make a rape joke, fine. Maybe you find it funny. Maybe you don't find it funny. That's, you know, that's subjective. That is up to you to decide whether or not you find that funny, whether or not that offends you, so forth and so on. This, though, is inherently bad. This is a thing that is promoting something that is not... It's definitely not. If you want to fly it from your own fucking roof and say that you're supporting your Southern pride or whatever the such bullshit, or if you even want to fly it and say white power, you know, if you want to fly it and then put a sign out in front of it that says keep away darkies, then that's your fucking issue. That's your cross to bear, brother. But it should not be on a government building. It should not be on a fucking state house, okay? Because it is inherently wrong. It is not representative of the way that the government looks at things anymore. Black people are not inferior anymore. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, they were. They were. They weren't really, but in the eyes of the law, they were. Again, they had to eat at a different lunch counter. You couldn't even piss in the same toilet as a black dude, you know what I mean? Or if you're black, as a white dude. You know, according to the eyes of the government, black people were inferior back then. 100 some odd years ago, whenever the fuck the Civil War, 150 years ago, whenever the fuck it was, they were more than inferior. They were full on property. A black person was no better than a fucking dog or a horse back then, you know. It was, you owned them. You literally owned them. You could sell them. You could kill them. And you wouldn't get in trouble for it. You could just go out there at any given time and just mass murder your fucking slaves. And everybody was just pretty much like, well, it's shitty that you did that, but now you just got to spend a bunch of money replacing them. What you going to do that for, you damn fool? But you ain't going to jail for it. You wouldn't go to fucking jail for it. They would just be like, well, that was stupid. You know, it would be no different than if you went out and beat your own car with a fucking sledgehammer. It's property. And that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. It is something that flag represents flat out. Represents. I read the quote. I'm not going to read it again. It is what it is. That is something that flag full on represents, but at the same time, it's not valid anymore, man. It's not valid anymore. Those opinions are gone. They never should have been here in the fucking first place. They are full on gone. They have no place in this world, and even though there's no way in hell we're ever going to negate it from this world, because racism is still very much alive, and if you don't believe that, then, I mean, you're frankly not fucking paying attention, but it definitely should not be state-condoned. No way, shape, form, or fashion. The fucking flag should be taken off of the Mississippi flag, and there should be no state sponsorship of the Stars and Bars at this point. Okay? That's my opinion. I don't just think that it is my opinion. I think that it is the right opinion because it is the right opinion. As a people, we are fighting to maintain the heaven-ordained supremacy of the white man over the inferior or colored race. That should say everything that you need to hear about this fucking issue. Okay? Okay. And if you disagree with that, then maybe you just shouldn't listen to my fucking show anymore, because I don't think I really want you to be honest with you. Find another show to listen to. And along those lines, how's that for a segue? Kind of choppy, but this week, this time around, it's time for...
The List.
And since we haven't done it in a couple of times, I just want to hear it one more again. It's been a while, baby.
The List.
That's right. It is indeed time for The List. And speaking of other podcasts, I'm going to talk to you this time about the other podcast that I listen to. When I'm in the car anymore, I think I've spoken about this before, but... I used to have SiriusXM. Of course, it came with the car and everything, and we renewed it once, and I listened to it, you know, fairly frequently. It was what it was. But I kind of got to a point to where every once in a while I wanted to hear something specific, you know, like I'd get every, you know, once or twice a year, especially when it's Halloween time, I'll really, really want to hear, like, Typo Negative. And about once or twice a year, I'll just get in a real Antichrist Superstar mood, you know, Marilyn Manson, and, you know, I want to listen to Antichrist Superstar, you know, frequently, and every once in a while, it's one of my favorite albums. And every once in a while, I'll be in a Metallica mood and, you know, shit like that. So I wind up listening to a lot of CDs. And I've still got a lot of CDs. I still burn CDs and stuff like that because I love putting music together. The program director in me from back in the day working at a radio station has never died. And that's something that I've always loved to do all the way from back in the day. And people my age will remember this, when you used to put the tape in your radio and you'd sit by the, you know, sit there listening to the radio for hours on end just to record your favorite songs off of it, you know, and make your own mixtape of songs off the radio. And God, I loved doing that. I used to do that for fucking hours, hours, man. And you know how long it takes to fill up a 90-minute tape with songs off of the radio that you like? It takes fucking forever, but I loved doing it, and I would do it all the time. So I'm still very into making mixtapes, or the modern equivalent of mixtapes, or not so much fucking modern anymore, really, and I guess nowadays it would be playlists, but I make fucking CDs, okay? But a lot of the time here recently, I listen to podcasts, so I'm going to tell you my top five favorite podcasts. I'll go ahead and give you a fair warning. Half of them are wrestling-related. I listen to wrestling-related podcasts. But that doesn't mean, just because they're by a wrestler, doesn't mean that they are about wrestling. For instance, number five, Talk is Jericho. That could maybe be higher on the list, but it's at number five. Talk is Jericho. It's hosted by Chris Jericho, professional wrestler, lead singer of Fozzy. He has all kinds of shit on there. He talks to professional wrestlers, of course. He talks to people from bands. He talks to Bigfoot hunters. And he talks to all kinds of famous people. Larry King was on. I mean, it's a really good show that you could stand to check out. He's really good at what he does, and it's a quality piece of business. Up at number four, we've got The Steve Austin Show. That is a fun show, man. He talks to a lot of wrestlers, and mostly wrestlers. He talks to some other people. Sometimes it's just him shooting the shit, talking about life on his ranch and stuff that he's done, various shows that he does over the course of weeks and stuff like that. It's a fun show. It's a great listen. Steve Austin, a very engaging fellow. At number four, The Steve Austin Show. At number three, we have Fat Man on Batman. That is Kevin Smith's show about Batman. Here lately, it's been taking more of a bent about comics in general, but it is typically about Batman, and he will interview people involved with Batman. Neil Adams, who used to draw Batman, or Denny O'Neill, who used to be the editor of Batman and write for Batman. And all these, Kevin Conroy, who was the voice of Batman on the animated series, all these people who have an intrinsic tie to Batman, he'll talk to them. It's essentially a love letter to the Batman. At number two, we have The Steve Austin Show Unleashed. It is very much like the regular Steve Austin Show, but he says fuck a whole lot more. And it's just a really fun show. I listened to an episode the other day, and he told the story about falling in the shower, and it was, you just have to listen to it. It was fucking hilarious. I was literally laughing until I was almost crying while I'm driving down the road. And at number one, the best COD podcast I've ever heard, the one that this podcast is really themed upon to a degree, and just many other things. My favorite podcast, hands down, the best podcast out there, Smodcast, Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier. If you don't know who Kevin Smith is, he directed Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Clerks 2, fucking Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, all that stuff. Excellent, excellent movies, but it's a great podcast, and it is super, super duper fun, okay? Check all those out. You won't be sorry that you did so. But, of course, listen to this, too. Come back with me. I'll be back on Wednesday night. Until then, you guys take care of yourselves. And remember that nothing is trivial. Much love, guys.